Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and we've got a real treat here for you today because we are going to get to talk to a man who, of course, you know him as a three-time survivor, of course, a Mr. Survivor, but he is back here. And he's got a brand new project that he is working on that's called Adulting with Richard Sherman. Yes, that Richard Sherman. Here he is, Malcolm Freeburg. Malc, how are you?
I'm doing good. This is exciting. I don't think we've ever done two of these so close back to back.
Yes.
We talked just a few months ago.
Yes, it's almost like that you are like my co-host now.
Well, let's not go that far, but these days I'm so like anxious for social companionship. I keep falling back into doing the show, which is a good
thing. Yes, okay. I can't believe it. Twice in 20. And people say 2020 is a bad year.
No, I'm single-handedly
underrated
gonna fix.
Year.
I'm fixing this year by appearing on the show multiple times.
Okay.
Welcome, world.
All right. So, Malcolm, how have you been?
Good. I mean, I'm just dealing with the same things everyone else is. There's no real reason to complain. We're going to get into work in a little bit. I've actually been more busy since the corona nonsense went crazy. I know you're living in LA. Mm-hmm. So I'm just struggling with the AC right now. Like,
mine broke a couple of weeks ago, Malc.
Exactly. Like ours is we call it the good air now. We have good air days and bad air days.
Yes.
System. So these are. There's nothing great to talk. I sit at home on the computer. I work from home. I wear my mask. I just try to be a good citizen. And I just long for like any sort of outreach to anyone these days.
Okay. That's what I'm here for, Mal.
I appreciate it.
Yes.
This will be a therapy session.
Anytime.
Anything.
Anytime. Well, really, it's your partner in crime. Denise is probably better served for that. But I'll do what I can. I wanted to ask you that we talked during the season and we were talking about, our mutual friend, Tony, who is a thoroughbred like yourself. And we were talking about Tony and the times, the fun that you guys had with Caleb back in Game Changers. He went on to go the distance. What was your reaction to Tony being the two-time Survivor winner?
I thrilled. Long and short of it, very excited, couldn't be happier. Once I think we talked after the merge, it happened or like right around the merge.
Yeah.
Once it was clear that he wasn't going to overplay, like in the early days of the merge, like, oh, here it comes. And it started building up and I don't get like editing things like, oh, it's going to happen. But there was so much fear the entire time because he is Tony.
Yeah.
And one thing could like turn against him. So super proud, talked to him. I let him have a couple of days afterwards. We talked. The first text I got back was Thoroughbreds for Life because
of the
joke from the previous podcast. And then I believe, because Denise was the first boot in the finale, right? Or the second? First or second? She went out.
Yeah.
As soon as she was out, I was cheering for.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was all in on Tony. So couldn't be more happy that my PIC, my second PIC, I suppose, pulled it off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, congratulations to Tony. Maybe he could coach you for the next time. Maybe he's got to tell you to do a ladder, do all of these sort of like wacky things.
I don't. I think everybody has to play their own game. As I know you know, and we're just having a laugh about it. But I can't imagine hiding in a tree. That's just not me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But Malcolm, I want to talk to you about what you're up to, because I think that this is a very interesting project that you're working on. It's on the subject of being an adult. And if I may be frank, I don't know if I necessarily associate you as like, if I had to come up with the person who is the, model of adulthood, I'm not sure necessarily if you'd be in my top 10. But I'm very interested in how you became such an expert on the subject.
It's very accurate. And the lament of my parents, I turned 33 a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I keep forgetting that. I keep calling myself a younger age, not like as like a serious thing. I'm just actually.
You just forget how old you are.
And I don't know if that's like some subconscious problem. Anyway, point being, yes, I am not the expert on being an adult, but the past is God. Long, long time now. Been working on the show called Adulting, and it's Adulting with Richard Sherman. And the name is not a reference to my maturity. It was just this thing that came up in a creative meeting when we were coming up with early ideas for this digital series that lives on millionstories.com, which we'll get more into. But it came up, like, we're talking about financial literacy. We're talking about the things you didn't learn in school. How many times have you seen the meme like, oh, I can play the I can play hot cross buns on a recorder, but I don't know how to do my taxes. Mm-hmm. Like, that was sort of the conceit at the time. So the show became called Adulting. And yes, as you mentioned, I'm not necessarily the pinnacle of that achievement, but we managed to bring in Richard Sherman to do this show. And I know you're a football guy, but for anyone who's not, he's been an all-pro several times. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's super famous for the, was that Aaron Andrews in that interview back in the day? You remember that when he blew up and all of a sudden he was on Madden's cover and like starts screaming at the talking trash like to the reporters. So we got this big personality to come in, and but besides just being a big personality, he's like the sharpest guy in the NFL. Like, if you really follow the league, you know, he's the head of the NFLPA, the Players Association, or if he's not the head, he's one of the board members. He graduated Stanford. He's like just the most impressive, well-spoken guy. And it turns out financial literacy is his passion point. So it really was this match made in heaven to teach people more than, you know, this sometimes silly thing we learn in school and real life skills about finance.
So, Malcolm, how did this become an area of interest for you?
I got shoehorned into this thing. What happened was the production company that created the show, One Good Man, brought me in randomly because I actually do. I mean, I haven't used my econ degree from an Ivy League school much at all.
Yeah.
Since I got the thing, I now work mostly as a writer and producer for this. But I got roped in because this idea that the Singleton Foundation, for the people behind Million Stories, the Singleton Foundation for Financial Literacy and Entrepreneurship, wanted to create content video series that were, you know, entertaining but still had some takeaway.
Yeah.
And so at the very first meeting, I got roped in through some contacts to like just be in the room for 8 hours and let's see where we go. And I think the original idea, long before Richard was involved, was to do like a makeover show. Like, you have a makeover show for your house. You have a makeover show for your personal style. What if we did a makeover show for your finances?
Pimp my bank account.
That's it's essentially what I'm pretty sure that's in my notes somewhere. something very similar to that. And then we got the first approval, like development more. And okay, well, now we need a host and we need somebody to be the stylist for your finances. What happens is when you're looking for financial experts, they don't tend to be the most entertaining people.
No.
Your CPA is not a television star. There's a reason this doesn't already exist. Mm-hmm. So we like had to branch out a little bit. And after, you know, a lot of back and forth between the Singleton Foundation, the team at OGM, a lot of research, somehow Richard's name came up and we started deep diving. And I know him from football because I'm, you know, a huge football fan, played in school, and started digging a little deeper. And it turned out it was just a match made in heaven. And it really wasn't a hard sell to get him involved. I mean, it takes months and he's a busy guy and you have to work around football schedules and mm-hmm. such. But once I was on the, when we pitched it to his manager, because you have to go to climb up the ladder or up the chain, he was like, well, y'all did your homework. This is going to be perfect for him. We'll mm-hmm. talk soon. And it was done pretty quickly once we decided that we were the perfect fit for somebody who's really intelligent and engaged with this particular subject,
yeah.
but also not like an accountant sitting in like a fallback to the UNC every April.
Can you just talk about, so from what I understand, you were the person who had to find Richard Sherman and get him to agree to this. Is that correct?
It was my idea.
And how do you do this? How do you contact NFL players? Because I have a lot of questions that I need to ask some of the Jets before we get too close to the new season.
I don't think you're going to like the answers from the Jets, but I was the one who came up with it. Like, wait, this could actually work. And I did all the research and the homework that I take it up the ladder again through One Good Man and the Singleton Foundation. We get a lot. There has to be a lot of approvals before you start making the phone calls, right?
Yeah.
Like, you only get so many like social credits that you can pull in favors for. There's a lot of people involved with the foundation, with this Million Stories channel. There's so many people who have a lot of assets and a lot of experience. It wasn't like I like just DM'd him on Instagram and this happened. Like, we had to go through a lot of channels. But when it did come
Malcolm?
Time,
okay, yeah. Great.
Oh, yeah, 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 right? Yeah, I didn't just slide in the DMs to get Richard Sherman. A lot of people were involved, but when it did come time to rope him in, I was the one who pitched the show, pitched the concept, explained to him why we think he would be great. You got to remember that he's my age. I think he's 33 now. Mm-hmm. I played college football. I randomly had the same coach in college that he had for his freshman year. The head coach switched teams. And he loves Harry Potter. He knows more about Harry Potter than I do. So, and I knew all this going into it. So it was a very prepared, like, let's just make sure that we can, like,
what house is he?
I think he said Ravenclaw. Okay. But he wasn't sure.
Smart.
Yeah. He said Ravenclaw, but he knew at one point during the shoot when we did all this, he knew
not
more about
Baltimore Ravenclaw.
I had, like, you have the things once we get on the call, I know, like, all the ways we can bond. I explain the situation. Again, it's not like it's not like we're trying to bring somebody in who doesn't already have a strong interest in what we're talking about.
Okay.
So he was, it really wasn't that hard of a sell. The bigger struggle is finding time and that guy's schedule to hang out.
So you reach out to Richard Sherman and you say, hey, I have an idea for a show. It's you and you are going to be dropping financial knowledge on people. We want to teach young people how to be smarter with their money. And we want you to be the face of this. Does he say yes right away?
Like quicker than right away. Contract, there's a lot of, you know, moving and shuffling that I'm not extremely involved in or not. I can't get into all of that, not because I don't know, because I don't know it essentially. But it was immediately on board because I mentioned his passion point, but also he does this with NFL players right now. This is a big thing in the NFL. I think the stat is that within 2 years, over 70% of players who've left the league are broke. It's bad in all professional sports, but it's really bad in the NFL. Yeah. So
If you think that's bad, you should hear the stats on people that go to play Survivor.
Oh God, too close to home, Rob. Anyway, so this is a thing in the NFL. It's something that's being talked about a lot, and he's one of the leading voices for it.
Yes.
So we talked, like, as you said, the show, the premise is to help you with your finance. What we ended up having Richard do was get less into the nitty gritty, because it's like you're wasting Rich. Like, he's so engaging and so personal and so well spoken that if he's the one, like, breaking down finance advice you can find on a YouTube search, it kind of gets boring. Like, it's like, well, what's the point of having Richard do this part? So the show kind of evolved once he was locked in to at least Richard's role in it, to sharing his personal stories, his personal financial experiences, and what he's heard from other people. He grew up in Compton, which people don't know. It's a very, very poor part of LA, no way around it. His dad still, I believe his dad's still working as a garbage man today. Like, they didn't have a lot growing up. He was only the first or second kid to come out of his high school and get a scholarship to Stanford ever. Like, so he has all these sorts. And then he talks about how he got his first credit card and immediately maxed it, how he didn't realize that he hadn't paid off his student loans for years, even though he's already making millions in the NFL and his credit was in the tank. Like, he has all these incredible stories that are relatable to people who necessarily didn't grow up with a lot of money. So, like, he's this massively successful, extremely smart mentor, but he's telling you his stories from when he did it wrong. And he's essentially telling you a lot of the time, be better than me, which is really resonates, we think.
So are the episodes all up right now that people can go and check them out?
About half of the series is up. You want to check out millionstories.com. His face is plastered all over the place. It shouldn't be hard to navigate. And each episode is based on a financial topic. So the one might be budgeting. One might be your taxes. One might be, we have one on payday loans in there. I don't know which ones are up necessarily yet. You should go check. Essentially, like, it's Richard sharing his, like, he has this horrible experience with payday loans, or his family has. So you get to hear his story, and then you hear advice on how to avoid that. Or you hear about, like, the first time he tried to budget, or how he maxed all his credit cards in college. Millionstories.com. it shouldn't be too hard to navigate. You'll find what's there, and there's more episodes coming out every week.
Was there something that you learned from Richard Sherman that really blew you away of like, oh, I had no idea. I've been making a huge mistake.
I'll tell you what, mistakes. Well, fortunately, I've been involved with the Singleton Foundation, this Million Stories. It's all about financial literacy. So I learned a lot through this whole process. But for the football fan in you, I'll tell you, the whole production, almost like we had a 15-minute break when he started describing how NFL players have to pay taxes. I don't know if you know anything about this?
No.
They have to pay taxes in every state they play in.
What?
So if you have it's this crazy thing. I had no idea. So this isn't something I can necessarily relate to, but every time they have a game in every state, you have to pay the taxes in that state. He was explaining the whole system. It's absolute madness. And there was times like that when he could, that's the one that sticks out, but he would explain something NFL specific about the finances. And it was like, everyone was like, hold on. And there was like a few guys on the crew. There's probably like a 30-person crew for this shoot we did with Richard in the room all the time. And sometimes he would touch on something when he was telling his story and he'd just be shooting from the cuff and it was brilliant, or shooting from the hip and it was brilliant. And then he would mention something specific about the NFL and we had a couple minutes. Everyone would storm like, wait, explain that. Hold on. I need to know about this, that, the other. So it was really interesting, especially the NFL stuff specifically.
So is there just like one firm that does like all the NFL players' taxes?
They all have their own guys, but it's just so complicated. And they all have, you know, he was explaining how they all have their charities and they all have their, you know, their passion projects and they like legal structures and things like that. Really interesting stuff. I shouldn't blow over it though. As I just said, like I've been working with the foundation for a while and the channel. So I've learned a lot of this stuff already, but a lot of the crew members were coming over and asking questions. Like after he talks about filing taxes at one point and just throws some like throwaway form, like out off the cuff. And three guys sort of like, wait, I've heard of that. And it's like, it's the guy with the boom mic is taking notes on the back of his hand so that he can learn something. Or even one of the other producers like ran over at one point, asking about how, credit card percentages work and like some formula that he knew off the top of his head. And it's like, she's supposed to be writing notes for the episode. She's supposed to be like keeping time codes. Right. And instead she's writing down like numbers for her own personal finance. So it was really cool to see.
Hey everybody, just a quick break, but I have a treat for you. The first lady of podcasting is here with us. Nicole, how are you?
I am good.
Okay. Well, Nicole is here because we are going to be talking about Ritual multivitamins. Now, Nicole, that first off, you're missing a great conversation with Malk.
Yes, I know.
Yes. Okay. And we're talking about how Malk is working on adulting. And part of adulting is taking care of yourself. And a great way to do that is with Ritual multivitamins, Nicole. And I know that you have been taking them for some time now.
I have. When the pandemic first started, Ritual reached out to the healthcare workers and first responders and provided us with a 3-month supply of Ritual vitamins.
And how's that going?
Great. I actually continued to take them because I feel so good.
Yeah. And I take
them
too. True
story.
And Ritual, they've reimagined the multivitamin. Their formula started with transparency, which is perfect because they're actually clear. You could actually see through them.
And minty fresh.
Yes. They worked with top scientists to develop a product with clean, traceable nutrients that Ritual is obsessively researched, from D3 to omega-3, magnesium, and vitamin A. Ritual's essential multivitamins are formulated with key nutrients that you need, which can be difficult to get from our food. And Ritual has built the first visible supply chain of its kind. Ritual essentials are vegan-friendly, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, and major allergen-free, and their sources are open for the whole world to see. Again, all about transparency. Ritual always delivers. This subscription-based supplement is easy to start and easy to snooze, around $1 a day, and delivered right to your door.
Yeah, you don't have to order it. You don't have to go to the store. It comes to you.
Help fill nutrient gaps in your diet to support foundational health. Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off for their first 3 months. Nicole, you love a sale.
I do.
Visit ritual.com/RJP to start your Ritual today. That's ritual.com/RJP. 10% off your first 3 months at ritual.com/RHAP. All right, Nicole, I'd love to stay in chat. I got to get back to Malcolm.
I got to go take my vitamins.
Can you give us something that is relatable for people that might be listening? That's like one takeaway that people could get, and then we'll go and talk, see what Richard Sherman has to say for everything else.
There's a lot of good ones. I don't want to, there's so many little gems in there, in the series, I mean, that are really, really helpful. And again, these episodes are very quick. Like these, we're asking for like 4 minutes of your time. You get to hear a cool story from Richard, and then like a bam, 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 easy, 1, 2, 3 steps to get you on the right track if you're struggling with like any aspect of your financial life. The one I didn't, please, please, please never take out a payday loan was the big one that stuck out. Mm-hmm. Richard's family had to do this on occasion. And after we did all the research and talked with experts outside of Richard to learn about this, please, please, please never
do it. Can you set up what a payday loan is in case people might not know?
When you can go to these, they're usually in strip malls, and it's this little shady place where you go in and you can tell them, here's proof that I have income, but I can't afford to make. You need cash now. If you need cash right now and you're not going to get your paycheck for like a week, you can go into this place and, but you, what's it called? Early, post date a check.
Right.
Usually you can post date a check, or you just show proof of your, proof of income, and they'll give you a loan, pretty much no questions asked, but the rates on them are just so crazy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't sound that bad because you think you're going to pay it off in a week, but if you, you miss one payment on these things, all of a sudden you can be crippled for life. It's really, really predatory.
It's predatory.
They're illegal in a lot of states now, but there are still places.
Yeah, and they really prey on like low-income communities, and it's not a great thing. But so does Richard Sherman have some advice? Okay, so obviously, I think people might know, all right, yeah, this is probably bad for me in the same way that like, okay, I know fast food is bad for me, shouldn't eat it all the time, but I'm also hungry and I need to eat something quick. So what do you do instead of going and getting a payday loan?
Well, this might not have been the best example to give you. What we do in all these episodes is Richard tells you his anecdote, and then we throw to how to handle a situation. With payday loans, it's a lot of script. Do not do it. Do anything possible else. Garage sale. Borrow the money that you've been too embarrassed to borrow. Like, do whatever you possibly. See if you can get the money from like a loan, even your bank. Banks and credit cards will advance at like, it's not going to be a great rate. It's not the best option, but you can go to your own existing financial institution sometimes and like just explain the situation and they'll take care of it. The biggest takeaway from them is just absolutely anything you can do besides, you know, illegal actions, like do it besides payday loans, because you get in this hole and it gets very repetitive and it just wipes you out.
Malcolm, could you talk about your role producing this show? Because that I think that probably people would be surprised to know that, okay, well, what's Malcolm up to? Oh, he's producing different web series.
Yeah. So I got hooked into, again, Singleton Foundation, Million Stories, One Good Man, been working a lot of digital series. Adulting was the first one. And because it's Richard, it was really cool, but we're doing a lot of other things. And what's happened is it's blown up during the time of COVID. Because we had different shows. I had a couple things in the works, big projects that a lot of people would have to be in the room for to do, which you can't do, especially in LA right now, because it's not going that well, handling the pandemic. So, and that's starting to ease up, but we had to, keep business going, had to keep working. So, me in particular, along with a lot of our team, shifted to content that could be done remotely, like based for social media, a lot of interview type stuff, a lot of experiential. I did one show that somebody, I actually ended up hosting this one called Surviving Safer at Home. That was on Instagram for a while.
You taught people how to have best practices during COVID?
It became ways to entertain yourself during COVID, like learn new skills and such.
What did you learn?
I learned how to paint poorly.
Yes.
Somebody taught me to meditate. We had a gym guy do a home workout. It's like very, this big time. I learned how to cut my hair. So I had a
you like cut
a
your Beverly, own hair.
I had a Beverly Hills salon like boss get on a Zoom call, and she taught me how to cut my own hair, which was terrifying because it was pretty short afterwards. and so we did a lot of just things like things you can do at home during the pandemic. We also did this really cool series about people. We had different groups of people from all over the country who would talk about their experience with COVID. Like we had a very famous hip hop photographer in Atlanta, a farming couple in Kansas, a teacher from the Louisiana Teacher of the Year, and like a college student, like all sharing their experiences, like a round table. We've done a lot of cool stuff, and I'm probably selling a short that I'm not remembering at all, but we've been very, very busy as we've pivoted to social media because people still want content. And like there's people always want something new, and like movie theaters aren't open, TV's coming out slow. So it's actually been really busy and very different, though, than what I'd be doing this time last year.
Yeah. Malcolm, it seems like that there's a theme to everything that you're working on. It seems that in one way or another, it seems like that self-improvement, it seems to be something that, at least as a content creator, seems important to you. Is that something that you really look at in terms of trying to always be getting better?
Hey, look. Back in the day, right after, probably after the first couple seasons of Survivor, I very much loved Anthony Bourdain, kind of a lush sort of thing, like fell into that personality, and you know, that's how you grow. They didn't do anything that respectful, but there was, you know, more.
You traveled the world, right?
Yeah, there was more irreverence though, like when on social media.
And watched Slingbox on my through my mom's internet, but we don't need to talk about that right now.
I still do that. It's fine.
I gotta change the password.
I'm sure you change that password. I'm still doing it. I think for a while there's like this. It's like when you go through different phases, and right now, and kind of on the cusp of, I traveled for 18 months, and I did fall into a nonprofit organization making content, but it's a very natural fit. And like right now, I don't want to get too deep, but like right now in my life, this feels like the right kind of stuff to be doing. So highlighting good cause. And we have a lot of other nonprofit and charity things going on right now. So as long as I get to have some fun with it, this seems like the right thing to be doing.
Well, I feel like that people talked about this when the lockdowns first started of like, hey, use this time, and you always wanted to write that book or read that book or do this thing. And it's like, use this time. And I think that people kind of forgot about that. But I love stuff like that. I love watching YouTube videos and like things that I could learn in terms. And then, you know, I get distracted around this time of year with like finding fantasy football sleepers and stuff like that. But in a perfect world, you know, I could watch videos about how to get better at stuff all day long.
Yeah, I got to do the fan. I'm glad you said that. I'm putting it on my to-do list right now. Our fantasy draft is
What does Richard Sherman think about being in five different fantasy leagues and paying money? Is that a bad investment?
I would assume so. Yeah, he's not going to sign off on that. What did he say? He made a joke about it. He's like, just play within yourself. Like, don't just make sure nobody's going to get mad about the amount of money you're going to spend on this stuff. Mm-hmm. He was also, I just remember this. He was like one of the very first investors in Tesla. So he's got that going for him, which must be nice. Random sidebar. He said, just make sure you're not going to piss anybody off. When you spend money, is this going to piss somebody off? Like family members, friends? Excuse me. It's five different groups. Just depends on how your Patreon's going, I think, Rob.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. Malcolm, any other fun stories from your time working with Richard Sherman that you could tell us?
I love that when we were setting up, we did all the entire shoot with Richard was one day in this gorgeous house in the Bay Area. And what you do with these sort of shoes, you have everything possible on hand. Like if you're going to invest enough money for Richard Sherman to be there for a whole day, like making sure all the props and all the toys and like anything possible that might come up, like it's a relatively small expense. I made sure we had Harry Potter ones, not to harp on this. So some poor person like thinks they're like going to hang out with the prop master for the shoot. It's like on this like random list of things is a complete set of like very nice Harry Potter wands. And somewhere there's a picture of me and Richard like crossing our wands at the end of the day. So that was cute. He was so, it took so little direction. Like we give him the topic and like we're trying to hit this, that, and the other. And then we just kept, you keep the camera on him for 90 seconds straight. And you get like these great stories, barely needed any coaching. At one point where it was a long day, cause we trying to pack as much in as possible. The funny story, that I remember is that he was very clearly fading. We have, if we're shooting, like if we're like 2 hours left in the day, he hasn't eaten. I don't know why he wasn't eating, but he was just, I'll just save push money. Through. I'm sure that was his. Oh, he showed up for all the car enthusiasts out there in a beige and royal blue Rolls Royce Wraith.
Yeah.
And it was just parked outside. So everyone like run off when they had to break to take pictures with the car. Anyway, but like 2 hours in, like there's 2 hours left in the day and you can tell he's fading. He's not as sharp. Da, 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 da. So I have to like go get him while he's changing clothes. I'm like, you got to eat. And he goes, no, I'll push it. I'm like, all right, if I can get you a sugar-free Red Bull, will you drink the sugar-free Red Bull? And he goes, if you'll do one with me, cause I'm basically on his hip all day. Okay. So I run off and I got to go find somebody real quick. Cause we have like 5 minutes until we start filming again. I need a sugar-free Red Bull. I need a sugar-free Red Bull. And then everybody starts scrambling around the house looking for one because there were a ton earlier, but there's only one left. So somebody in the background must have been slamming these things. Mm-hmm. So we only have one. And I'm like, I don't want to drink out of the same can. I don't want to be weird with, like, I don't know how he feels about germs. Right. So I brought, as he's like getting dressed, I bring these two little teacups of sugar-free Red Bull into the room. And we had to like cheers and we sipped with our pinkies out and like, wrecked Red Bull, and then he was fine the rest of the day.
Yes. Okay. Well,
that's very random, but I will remember that we did pinkies out to push through the day.
That is random. Did Richard Sherman know that you had been involved with Survivor in any way, or he just thought that that you were serious producer guy, don't have any crazy adventures in your background?
I don't think anybody's ever mistaken me for serious, as you pointed out with the adulting thing. I don't think he might know it now. We DM occasionally, but he might know now, but I'm not sure. But at the time, no, I was just the one who could make jokes and knew how to relate and basically just give him pointers to get him through what was a very long but very rewarding day.
Okay. Malcolm, anything else you want to tell the listeners about adulting with Richard Sherman?
I think I really want to stress that it's bite size. Like these episodes are never longer than 5 minutes. If you're a football fan, it's going to be instantly engaging. But even if you're not, there's great information there. It's just trying to be helpful. The Million Stories channel that I mentioned, where all this lives, is completely free. It's supposed to be entertaining. There's also a lot of other great series on there. Like click through, like it's all extremely high quality. Everything looks great. And don't think of it as instructional videos, really. Like this is meant to entertain first, and then if you're interested in the topic, then you can follow up and do your own homework, like Rob's talking about. Just do the YouTube search and figure it out for yourself. This is meant to entertain first, so it's not boring, I promise. It's really fun.
So Malcolm, what's next for you after this? Do you have another project in the works?
A couple irons in the fire. Even with Million Stories, we're looking at Richard's project was in what we're calling the first round of stuff. We have a lot of cool ideas that I can't dive into for round two, but there's some really exciting stuff. It all, again, it's fun, but it touches on entrepreneurship and financial literacy. Just a soft touch. It remains fun. There's a couple other things that I'm not ready to tell you about yet.
Okay.
But we might be able to do this soon if I'm trying to promote something. So okay. That might be cool.
All right. Is it a third time in 2020? Is that possible?
Oh, I don't know. No, it might. We'll spoil everybody.
Okay.
That'd be rude.
Yes.
But maybe. We'll see. I don't know.
Are you watching anything else interesting? You don't like Big Brother, right? You hate Big Brother.
I never said I hate Big Brother. I've just never watched it. And then what if you come from... We won't go there. I've just never watched it. We have reruns on TV all the time these days.
Yes.
Because working from home, the TV's just on in the background quietly.
So you watch old shows?
Well, yeah, like Cheers. I watched Cheers. I watched Cheers all the way through recently. Like that, just I'm supposed to be working, but thought it was. Any big takeaways from your rewatch
of Cheers?
Cliff is underappreciated. I never knew Frasier started there.
You didn't know Frasier was started on Cheers?
You're older than me. Be nice.
Okay. Let me ask you: like, are you a Diane or Rebecca fan?
Diane. No, Diane. There's no question. Definitely Diane. And it's like, to what degree would I allow myself to be Ted Danson? Like, that's kind of the big
one. Okay. Are you Coach or Woody guy?
I don't want to pick, but Coach was, because you get so emotional with Coach, and then Woody comes and mm-hmm. he's big. The other one, just to bring it back to my narcissism, I had never seen the movie Tangled before.
Mm-hmm.
The Disney remake with Rapunzel. I've decided I'm Flynn Rider. I've just decided the male protagonist from this movie. It appears you don't really know this.
Yeah,
one,
now you're too young for me.
Yeah, exactly. I have decided I'm Flynn Rider, and I'm going to stick with that. Other people will understand.
What does that mean? Tell me for all of the people who are not watching.
Thinks he's smoother than he is, mm-hmm. recklessly cocky, good heart. I'll take that. Narcissism, ego. It's fine.
Okay. Malcolm, will you be starting a Cheers rewatch podcast? Is that your next project? Goodness.
That'll be the next thing. What will you call it? You can't put me on the spot. You're good at these things. I can't just come up.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I know. I'm going to pass. We'll workshop it in the comments below, guys. Let us know what you think Malcolm's upcoming Cheers rewatch podcast should be called. The best answer gets a custom 15-second video. Anything you want Malcolm to say, he'll do it.
Wow. 15 seconds.
Well, you're not 20. That'd be too much. I have things to do.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Malcolm, where can people keep up with everything that you're doing? We know millionstories.com for adulting with Richard Sherman.
The Instagram is Freeberg7. There's not a lot going on over there right now. Usually it's Twitter, but I've kind of been abstaining of late. Malcolm, mm-hmm. WHW. It's just, there's so much. Twitter's a very angry place these days. So I've been refraining a little bit. But if and when get more engaged, Twitter's the first place to look, at Malcolm WHW.
Okay. At Malcolm WHW. All right. We'll be on the lookout for that. And Malcolm, it's always a treat to get to catch up with you.
This is so much fun as well. We didn't do it for so long, and now this has become a small addiction. Maybe it will be three times this year. Who knows?
Maybe. How are you feeling about the 49ers this year?
Didn't they just have a bunch of injuries? Did I see that? Or am I making it up? I haven't.
But you're a Cowboys fan.
I'm a Cowboys fan. Yeah. I grew up in Texas, so it's not some fair weather. Why would anybody be a fair weather fan for the Cowboys?
They're America's team.
They were America's team. But here's my theory on the Cowboys. The Cowboys are harder to cheer for than any other team in the country. Even the Jets. Mm-hmm. I mean this because you know the Jets are going to be terrible. And like you're not expecting anything. The Cowboys go 8-8 every year.
Yeah.
Like you think this will be it. And then they don't win a playoff game. So it's more heartbreaking to cheer for the Cowboys. And I will defend that theory. If anybody wants to argue.
Okay. All right. Malcolm, great to catch up. Congratulations on the new show. And we'll hopefully talk to you again soon.
For the Cheers podcast that will be starting
yes.
On the RHAP site in a couple months.
Okay. Can't wait for that. All right. Thanks a lot, Malcolm.
Take care.
Everybody, there you have it. Malcolm Freeberg, Mr. Survivor, here on the podcast to talk about everything that's going on his brand new series, Working with Richard Sherman. Wow. Two Malcolm appearances in 2020. Can you believe it? All right. So fun week that we just had on the podcast. Of course, we did our Survivor Wiggle Room talking about the Survivor Borneo finale. And of course, we talked with Phil Kogan talking about the wrap up for the team challenge over on Tough as Nails. In addition to everything Big Brother, don't miss anything that we're doing by subscribing to Rob as a Podcast. Head on over to robiswebsite.com/iTunes or robiswebsite.com/Spotify to subscribe on Spotify. What? Yes, that's right. So head on over. Appreciate you listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.